Every was, then you wouldn't be crying. You've been tossing and turning in your sleep lately, sitting around pouting all day long. Now how in the hell do you expect me to understand when I don't even know what's wrong? Let's straighten it out. Wasn't right when you turned your back to me and you covered your head, or you didn't even say goodnight. Now if you're tired, you don't want to be bothered, baby, just say the word and I'll leave you alone. Instead of
no stranger. E. It's perfectly with tonight's show, our Valentine's Day special. I'm your rocking attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. This is Courts in Session, heard here every Thursday night from 8 to 10:30. And if you missed part of the show, if you missed some of our time with Joe Lynn Turner tonight, you can catch a replay Sunday nights at 10. And if you're truly a night owl, you can catch it again at 1 a.m. after Viva La Mock on Friday nights. Courts in Session, hard to escape. So that was L-O-V-E, the last truly rock and roll record that Billy Squire made from the mid-90s. Before that, going out to Scott in the North Hills, live version of No Stranger to Love, David Coverdale on those lead vocals. Of course, connection with Joe Lynn Turner, with both of them singing in Deep Purple. And for those of you who remember about 10 years ago, you know, Joe Lynn Turner has alopecia and had worn a wig his entire career, and he took it off a couple of years ago and got in a little match with David Coverdale, accusing David of lip-syncing with a video that was on the internet, and David turned around and accused Joe Lynn of wearing a wig, and they were at it. But No Stranger to Love going out to Scott in North Hills. Jay Giles Band got a bunch of requests for that one, and that's going out to, amongst others, Jake and Mount Oliver. Lattimore, Let's Straighten It Out. We should retitle that. EJL, Clean the Record Before You Play It on the Radio. Boy, was that scratchy. That is my bad, but what a great tune. Works perfect with Valentine's Day. Smith, Baby, It's You. What a great tune going out to Freddie and Greenhill. Queen, Love of My Life, from their great album, Night at the Opera. And we open it up with Gary Glitter. Can't have enough glitter for Valentine's Day. I love, you love, me love. So 86 million adults in America have pre-diabetes. In other words, one in three adults in this country are at risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and you don't want that. Good news is that pre-diabetes can be reversed, and even if you're busy, and we all are, it takes less than 1 minute to know where you stand. There's no excuse. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take the short online test. That's doihaveprediabetes.org to find out more. So this next song, it's just one of my favorite titles. One of the just best rock and roll titles. And it was a big hit going back in the early 80s from a bunch of guys from Canada. Love this track. This is Loverboy, Hot Girls in Love. Not just girls in love, hot girls in love.
want to do it again, Eve?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we're rolling. Let me take two.
Okay. 2 1 2 1 2 3
Water body, feel my temperature.
This is Al Harlow wishing everyone a happy Valentine's Day with my rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. Courts in session on WRCT 88.3 FM.
listening to Quartz in Session here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. That was Al Harlow from Prism. Going out to Lisa and Kevin in Love in Calgary, listening online at WRCT.org. Happy Valentine's Day, guys. Before that, man, even when the King of Rock and Roll was just practicing, he sounded good. That was a practice session in the studio preparing for the final recording of Burning Love. Really just a demo. Send that out to Zach and Eddie in Shaler. And we opened up with Loverboy, Hot Girls in Love. I don't know why that just kills me every time. I love that. Hot Girls in Love. So I got to send a little Valentine's Day dedication to Mrs. EJL, who is listening at home. And this next track, I play this once a year, and there's a story behind it. I was in a thrift store, and I came across a box of records. None of them had sleeves. It was a box of 45s. And if you're a record collector, you know that if there's no sleeves on those 45s, they're often going to just be scratched all over. And as I went to the box, I saw that they were all 1970s radio promos. Somebody had worked at a radio station and had collected 45s and had obviously taken them home and one day sold them or passed away. Who knew what? But there was this 45 by an artist I didn't know by the name of Oscar Tony Jr. And there were two copies, and they were in beautiful shape. Bought them, took them home, and just blew my mind. Talk about some sweet Southern soul coming up next. Sending this out to my hot blonde at home. This is Everything I Own. Hey, Mama, be my Valentine.
Yeah. blood go to my feet. Now it took time for me to know what you tried so not to show. Years ago, you'd never let your feelings show. The obligation that you made
the classic in the background, Nazareth, live with Love Hurts. Way to close out our Valentine's Day show. I'm your rocking attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. What a great time tonight. Thank you for all the calls. Thank you for all the requests. Right before the Nazareth, we heard the Raspberries, I Want to Be With You, going out to Dan in the North Hills. Lobo, I Want You to Want Me, for Andy in West Mifflin. And Oscar Tony Jr., for that hot blonde wife that's waiting for me at home. So we'll close out tonight with the latest from Van Morrison and Willie Nelson. I'm your rocking attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie, thanking you for tuning in tonight. If you missed any part of tonight's show, you can catch it again on replay Sunday nights at 10. Joe Lynn Turner, baby. What a great interview that was. That was a lot of fun. Want to remind you, take care of each other, be kind to each other, and be proud to be American. Keep it right here. Record Roulette coming up next. WRCT 88.3 FM. A lot of things get in the way. Good night, Pittsburgh.
But every time I think of you, you just steal my heart away. Just like a morning in May like this. See the heather on the hill. There's a place way up the mountainside where the world keeps standing still. Just like the sunshine after rain, I'll come. Be with you, we'll say it today. Cause I know when I'm with you again, you just steal my heart away.
Simply wasting precious time. her mother's car to get away from me. Heaven knows that I can sympathize.
ひそかに振り出す午後の Okay, Kevin Amos here, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This is Ebony Spectrum, and this week in Ebony Spectrum, we're taking a listen to the Don Lemon Show. Here we go.
Good evening, everyone. You know what that music means. It is time for the Don Lemon Show, live at 5, and I have the perfect guest to discuss everything that's going on. Will Donald Trump, will he go toe-to-toe with Kamala Harris with just 2 weeks until the previously agreed upon September 10th presidential debate? It takes place between the two campaigns, but the communication has broken down. Drop the mic or not drop the mic? That's what we're discussing. So what is the issue here? The issue when I say that is to mute the mic or not mute the mic. You know, when they're when one person is talking, the previously agreed upon terms were, one of them was that the mics would be closed or not open to the person who's not speaking. The Harris campaign wanted to change that. They wanted the mics open. I think they believed that it would show the real Donald Trump and that Donald Trump would say something that would get him into trouble speaking to Kamala Harris when he's not supposed to be speaking. Donald Trump's campaign is saying, listen, we agreed upon those terms initially with the president, Joe Biden. We expect those rules to stay into place. So we'll see what happens. There's some talk that maybe they've agreed upon the mics being closed, but I don't know. We need to check into that. So we're going to break it down with Bill Kristol's here. You see him up there on your screen. He is the founding director of Defending Democracy Together and the editor at large of For the Bulwark. I love the Bulwark, by the way, Bill. And he writes a very brilliant morning newsletter called Morning Shots. I love the newsletter, but I love the Bulwark. You've got great people over there. By the way, thanks for asking me to join. That's sarcasm. How are you?
Haven't we asked? You've been on with Tim Miller, haven't you? I believe
I have been on with Tim Miller.
Okay, I'm too thin-skinned about that. No,
and
I'm
with
great.
Sarah as well.
Sarah too. Yeah, I'm great. Yeah. That's right. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You survived Chicago.
I survived Chicago. I'm a little scratchy. You know, I'm worried that it may have been a COVID spreader. Are you hearing that?
I wasn't there. I was at the beach for the week with the family and previously scheduled. And so I've heard other people say that they suspect that. But I think maybe people suspect that of any large event these days. So.
Yeah. And it would not be surprising. So, Bill, let me ask you about this. I want to roll this because we have some breaking news that we got to talk about a lot. We're going to talk about the convention. We're going to talk about the debates, the mic situation. But there is some news as coming in just as we're speaking now. Let's roll this. This is a Fox News alert.
All right, some news just into us right now where the special counsel Jack Smith has returned what they're calling a superseding indictment against Donald Trump in that D.C. case. It doesn't mean it's more. It just means it's more focused, I guess. Jeff Spunt on all of that right now. Sir.
Yeah, hi, Neil. It is exactly a little bit more focused. In fact, the indictment itself, about 10 pages shorter than the original indictment from last year. So the same four core charges are included on this indictment. The reason that Donald Trump was reindicted, if you will, is because the Supreme Court came back somewhat in his favor on July 1st of this year, telling Jack Smith, the special counsel, essentially in layman's terms, you need to go back and rethink about your case before District Judge Tanya Chutkan. This was supposed to go to trial on March 4th, but it was delayed because of the Supreme Court. So while all of these four core charges stay here relating to Donald Trump, the man and the candidate, some of the officials like Jeffrey Clark, the former DOJ official, have been taken out, and this is a much more focused indictment. I also want to point out, Neil, that this is dealing with a new grand jury, so this grand jury did not hear anything about the other indictment from last August 1st of 2023. They only heard the facts in this case.
Okay,
what does this mean?
We got it. Okay, so Bill, let's talk about that. They call it a superseding indictment. And the reporter there stated it, I think, fairly well. This one is more focused, and I think it takes out or gets